Blog Talk Radio.
Feel good this morning. Was, you know, got
a lot of rest last night, and I'm just ready to move forward in the land and to start advertising and going after other people to join us in this venture and to do this thing as the Most High puts it on their heart. You know, we're going to put it out there, not tell them where it's at unless they want to join, but to generate interest because it's time that we start moving. The times of Jacob's trouble are quickly approaching, and we want to be ready for that because, you know, this country is heading toward a civil war. All behind Trump, and they're going to use us as the reason or the excuse, just as they use us as the reason and excuse for everything. We're the face of everything, everything negative. First, we're the face of Corona, then we're the face of COVID, you know, only for them to come back later and say, well, no, it's not really, you know, it's not affecting them as much as it is these other people. I was looking at the news last night, or early this morning, I think, when I woke up in the middle of the night, something like that. And they were talking about the opioid epidemic and, you know, what they're doing, how the police have gotten involved and are diverting people from jail to treatment in some cities. But when this was a crack thing and it was in the black community, they wanted to criminalize. So, you know, we're clearly living in a nation that has a double standard when it comes to us as a people. Anything they can do to put us in jail, to make us less than first-class citizens, they will do. And we just got to be cognizant of that and always have that before us. That, you know, and when it comes to Jacob's trouble, they're going to use us. It's going to be we're the excuse for the Civil War, okay? And so we want to be on our toes always. Won't matter, you know, where we go in the world because this is a world thing. The world just sees us as lesser than. Even our own people who didn't grow up in this country, whether they're from the islands or what have you, they want to see us as, you know, African Americans or those people who went through slavery in South America or North America, they want to see us as lesser than, even though they are the same people, fought for a different side, got dropped off in the island. Somehow they want to, you know, project themselves and see themselves being better than. Nevertheless, you know, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. And he is in charge of it all. And so all men will be judged for their own actions. And so we just want to be faithful and do what it is that he has put on our hearts to do, to be prepared. All right, let's start off this morning with our statement of faith. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Yah. We glorify you. We lift you up, Father. We magnify your name on this morning. And we honor you in this your day, Father. And obey your commandment to keep your Shabbat, Father. And Father, we just want to let you know that we love you on today, Father. And we will not bow down to anybody else. Only you, Father, we submit ourselves to. And we thank you always, Father, for giving us a mind to be on you and to keep your commandments. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. But if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes real, that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey your statutes, laws, and commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for this morning, let us go down to 1 Kings, and I'm going to personalize this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man, no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call to thee, all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? Fear Yah thy Elohim to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which I, Elohim of thy fathers, give thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, and verse 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. And John, chapter 14, verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14, and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Peter Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high
to worship you.
To worship you.
And I bow down
on my knees.
My knees. All praise to you.
All praise
to you.
Up high
to worship you.
To worship you.
My
name.
All praise to you.
I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation. Only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I reign, I reign, to worship you. Bow down, all praise to you. Up high. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you.
Observe to do it with my whole heart. So you will observe to keep the laws of the Most High with your whole heart, and you will seek his kingdom with your whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is how Israel has to return to the Most High. Not worried about whether we are Hebrew Israelites, but commandments, his judgments with our whole heart. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. Luke chapter 26, verses 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you put anybody before the Most High, even your own self, besides that, you can't be his disciple. For which of you intending to, and verse 27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to do what it takes to be his disciple, because you can't be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Least happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You don't want to start this work and not be able to finish. You have to count the cost and then commit to that's what it's going to take. In this case, it's going to take your whole heart. It's going to take all that you have. We want to make the Most High a kind of a second or an afterthought. But he's saying, hey, I got to be first, and you got to seek me with your whole heart. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. We've got to be willing to give all, forsake all, to be his disciple. May the Most High add a blessing to this as you understand and begin to do it. As your heart changes toward him, that you would give him your all. Now let us get back into the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be starting with question number 6 in this series. Was the Holy Spirit upon Yeshua during his earthly ministry? Go to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Yah, the Holy Spirit is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captivities, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yah. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Now we know that he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, telling them that the Spirit of the Most High was in the world, that the Most High was in the world. Isaiah himself tells Israel that John was supposed to be announcing the arrival of their God, their Elohim, their King. This is who he was announcing. And when they went out to see John, they asked him, who are you? They didn't listen to the message John had as to who he was announcing. They just wanted to know, who are you and why are you baptized? If you're not that prophet, if you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elias, why are you baptizing? But they didn't want to hear the message about who he was announcing. And his job was the heralder, to announce the Messiah is here. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. So Messiah had the Holy Spirit. Messiah was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is our example. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us that we have to be born of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit called? Go to John chapter 14 and verse, today we'll do a quick review. John chapter 14 and verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, the Spirit of truth, for he dwells with you. Who was the one dwelling with them at the time? Yeshua. And shall be in you. Then you have to ask yourself, how does Yeshua get in you? The Spirit of Yeshua, the same Spirit that was in Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, shall be in you. John chapter 15 and verse 26. The book of John chapter 15 and verse 26. So another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But when the Comforter is come, here's another name for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Another name for the Holy Spirit, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What are the works of the Holy Spirit? What are the works of the Holy Spirit? John chapter 6, verse 44. The book of John, chapter 6, and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Who's calling? The Most High, from the position of Father. Who's choosing? The Most High. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Can't even come to Messiah unless you're drawn by the Father, unless you're called and chosen. John chapter 16 and verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So when the Holy Spirit is come, his job is to prove the world of sin. But if you're not up under the law, how can you sin? How can he reprove you? The church needs to ask itself that. If you are not up under the law, because transgression of the law is sin, how can the Holy Spirit reprove you of sin if you are not up under the law? Acts 2:37, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Their hearts were heavily affected, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It is the job of the Holy Spirit to prick you in your heart, to unction you, to come to the Most High when you hear the gospel. His word. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's another verification for you. Who is the Comforter? What's another name for the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So one of the jobs of the Comforter or the Holy Spirit is to bring the scriptures into your remembrance. When you read the scriptures, the Bible, you're in study to show yourself approved, it is the Comforter or the Holy Spirit that is supposed to put them in the correct order for you so that you come to the truth and to bring them into your remembrance. So whatever situation you get into, he says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you what to say. I'll bring it back into your remembrance. If you're counting on me, if you're counting on yourself, then good luck with that. But we must have the Ruach HaKodesh to bring those that are in the scriptures back into our remembrance. And you may not remember book, chapter, and verse, but I'm sure you can quote it, though. I know it says it somewhere. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, this is still talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth is just another name for the Holy Spirit. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to guide us into all truth. That's why I said you can't know truth without the Holy Spirit. You can come up with some knowledge. You can come up with some facts. But it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High, that guides you and tells you line upon line and precept upon precept that puts the facts in order for you to come to truth. That's how he guides you. He puts the facts in order because everybody can have the facts and all the churches have the facts, but they don't have them arranged in the correct order. And you can have the facts out of order and come up not with the truth. So this is the job of the Comforter or the Holy Spirit to put these things in order for you and to reveal who Messiah is and to testify of him, who he really is. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter 4, let's get verse 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they all were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. Before this time, if you examine the life of the apostles, they didn't walk in belief. A lot of what Messiah taught them while he walked the earth, they did not understand, and they didn't operate in full belief. But after they received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. So the Spirit gives you, boldness that you can speak the word of Elohim and not be timid about it. Not be talking about, I think, I believe. Those are timid. That's not with boldness. That's tiptoeing. That's not sure of what you believe and what you know. When you have boldness, you speak it. This is the way it is. And a lot of people don't like me because I speak that way. With surety. But nevertheless, this is how we're supposed to speak the word of the Most High with boldness when we have this guiding us into truth. We don't have to say, I think or I believe. I know. Why? Because the Spirit told me. Elohim told me. Elohim woke me up and gave it to me in a vision or a dream. He assured me that this is what it is. Go to Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, the Holy Spirit. They are the sons of Elohim. If you're not being led by the Spirit of Elohim, you're not his child. If he's not in you, guiding your path, guiding your steps, you're not his. When you do something wrong, you're not his. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. If you're walking in fear, you're not his. If you're not, you're supposed to receive the spirit of boldness, of courage. I represent the living Elohim. The only way you can hurt me is that he delivers me into your hands. Other than that, he's protecting me. Courage, not fear. The song that we listen to, Yah is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? We only fear him. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, our Father. That's different than being a servant. And the Most High changes your status when he gives you his spirit. He changes you from that position of servant to his child. Let's continue. The Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit. Now, I told you had a spirit, and you are a spirit.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am. Am I having a hard, are you having a hard time hearing me?
You keep breaking out, in and out.
Okay. I think that this media server is connecting and disconnecting me. Let me come in on another computer. Let me mute this other one. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
All right, how do I sound now, my sister?
You sound better.
Okay, let me get rid of this echo. All right, let me know if I break up again.
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, John chapter 14. I believe we were in Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was taken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the word of Elohim with boldness. So, as I was saying, you are supposed to speak the word of the Most High with boldness. You're not supposed to be shy about it. You're not supposed to be timid. That's supposed to be, you know, unsure. It's the Spirit that gives us surety in this. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. It is the Spirit of the Most High that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. He's the one that confirms with us that we are his children. Nobody should have to tell you that. The Most High should tell you that and affirm to you that you are his child. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Messiah. So be that we suffer with him. Now, most of the time, people don't want to suffer with him. Don't want to have to go through anything for the word of the Most High. They want an easy salvation. Want to be able to sit in the pews and hear the word and not have to do anything. But if you want to rule with him, you got to suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He's going to glorify, he's going to receive his glory, and all of the saints are going to receive their glory at the same time. All those from the Old Testament times and New Testament times. If we read in the scriptures, we will read that there's a time that the Most High has set a time that they should not go unto perfection and receive glory before us, who are coming in the latter days, that we would all receive glory at the same time upon his return. And everybody that is destined to be raised in the first resurrection will receive their glory at the same time with him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life. These things are written for what purpose? That you may know, not think, not believe, but know. There's a difference in knowing and believing. What you know can't nobody change your mind on. What you believe can be changed. I'm sure that we had some things that we believed at one time or another that we don't believe now. But what we know for sure, nobody can change that. Even if we're wrong. Because we say we know it, I know this. When somebody says that, know that you can't change their mind. Can't change their heart because the position that they're in, they are set in concrete. I know this. So you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Elohim. Believe on his name. Know you have eternal life. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead, the spirit of him is the Holy Spirit that raised up Yeshua from the dead, dwell in you. The Father, Elohim, it's all the same spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. The spirit that raised up, so let's talk about this for a second. You believe that the Holy Spirit is an angel. Then this is telling you that the angel raised up Messiah from the dead. And the spirit of the angel dwells in you. And the angel is your Abba. contradiction to the scriptures. If the spirit of him, which most people notice as Elohim or the Father, that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. So the spirit of him that raised Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. That should tell you who the Holy Spirit is. Him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwelleth in you. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, he is Elohim himself. You might call him the Father. Understand that they are one in the same. The Holy Spirit became the Father. How? When the Most High created something and declared it to be his son, or when he begot Messiah, he became a father. He did that from the position of Elohim. He did that from the position or the personage of Holy Spirit. So when you see Father, you see Holy Spirit. When you see Son, you see Holy Spirit. So let's read this again. I was telling you just flat out who the Holy Spirit is. If the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, if you say the Father raised up Yeshua from the dead, then the spirit of the Father should be in you. Now, we're told that we're to receive the Holy Ghost or receive the Holy Spirit. And it has to tell you, just beyond a shadow of a doubt, who that is. It is the Father. It is Elohim himself. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. He'll give life to your mortal body. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit. The spirit of God himself. Drop down to verse 23. Let's drop down to verse 23. And not only that, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Once we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we're just waiting for the resurrection, the redemption of this body to put on eternity. Until he comes back, we shall all see death. Physical death, not spiritual death. We will go to the grave and we're supposed to go to sleep. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, all the prophets, they are asleep for the redemption of their body. You and I, if we go to sleep, we'll have to wait for the redemption of our body. The resurrection. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Those things that we are supposed to be weak in. We take it to the Most High. His Spirit helps us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever doubt what you're supposed to be praying for? Ask the Most High. Put it in his hands. It might just be a groan, and you can interpret that groan. But it's the Spirit making intercession with groaning, which cannot be uttered. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit of the Most High within you knows your heart and your mind, knows what it is that you need, what you want, and you don't know how to put it into words. You don't have words for it. You know what you feel and what you think, but you can't really vocalize. The Spirit will do it, and it may just be in a groan. And the Spirit of the Most High knows how to interpret that groan. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. Not according to your will, but according to the will of Elohim. This is the job of the Holy Spirit, to search your heart, to search your mind, and then to line you up with the will of Elohim. Prayer is not supposed to move Elohim to your position, but you to his. Let me say that again. Prayer is not supposed to move Elohim to your position, to move you to his position, his will. I pray we can understand that. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us whatever gifts that we might receive, whether it's healing or prophecy or health or whatever it is. But the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Same Master. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same Elohim which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all or everyone. For to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Did you know that you can have wisdom without knowledge? Just the way that you process stuff, the Most High just gives it to you, but then you would want knowledge with that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You want faith? It comes by the Spirit, not by your own doing. It is the Spirit that gives you an increase beyond measure. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Ever want to know what an evil spirit is and what a righteous spirit is? Or you want to know if somebody's possessed by a spirit? You need the spirit of discernment. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. This is tongues not in relationship to your being spiritually born. This is tongues in interpretation of other languages. Even in interpretation of heavenly languages, the language of angels. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and self-same Spirit. The Most High is giving these gifts, several gifts, and you can get several of these gifts. Let's just read that. Dividing to every man severally as he will. You can have more than one gift. You can have the gift of prophecy and healing and discernment. You can have the gift of wisdom and knowledge. As the Most High wants to give you those gifts. but it's to do his will. To the edifying of his body. Not for you to use for yourself. But to use for his body. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. Now, this is what I call the birth tongue. Birth. This is the evidence that the Most High has chosen you. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You don't speak in tongues as you will. So when you hear somebody speak in tongues on demand, or they're speaking in tongues and they always got the same thing to say. They got a memorized phrase that they were taught. Then you know that they are not speaking in tongues. They do not have the gift of tongues, and it is not the Most High. It is not the Most High. It's them. And you got organizations out here that teach people how to speak in a tongue. And they will usually say the same things all the time. That is not the Most High. That's somebody that has been taught a tongue or a phrase, usually mimicked from somebody else, or a familiar spirit. And so you got to be aware of that. It doesn't work that way. But when you are filled, when you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, you will speak in tongues. Because it's the sign, that's the sign to the believer that doesn't know if you've been filled. What's our example for that? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't know that the Most High was going to fill the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit. So he had to let Peter see a sign. Because you can't see the Spirit enter into someone. So if you want to know if somebody's been filled by the Spirit of the Most High, that he selected them, then most of the time today, you would say, well, let me wait and see what their fruits are. The Most High says, no, I'm going to give you a sign that's immediate, that you can tell. Because I will cause them to speak in another language. I will cause them to speak in another language. So Acts chapter 2, verse 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Drop down to verse 45. Just go to Acts chapter 10. This is our example. Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. And they of the circumcision, the Hebrew Israelites converted. Peter was a Hebrew Israelite. All of the apostles or the disciples were Israelites until this day. All of the convertees were Israelites until this day. And they are identified as the circumcision because all Hebrew Israelites were supposed to be circumcised. If you were a proselyte, you were supposed to be circumcised. Come up under the law of Moses to come close. Come up under the law of Moses that you might have your inheritance in the land. Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. Why were they astonished? Why were they amazed? As many as came with Peter. Chapter 11 will tell you that that was six men that came with Peter from Joppa. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost or the gift of the Holy Spirit. How did they know? How did they know that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter. Let's go get verse 47 and 48. I don't have that in my scriptures. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They heard them speak in tongues, so he knew they had received the Holy Ghost just like they did, because they did the same thing that they had done 10 years earlier. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sign. If I ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost, and you say yes, I'm going to be looking for the sign. Because you can say, as many people do, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. Don't have no gifts whatsoever. Can't heal, can't prophesy, can't do any of those things. Just trying to be good. Oh, we've got to find out what that is. Just trying to be good. And claiming, because they were told, that they had received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. But there is a sign. If I don't know that you've received the Holy Spirit, then I need to see the sign. The Spirit of Elohim needs to testify that, yeah, I'm here. I'm in this person. Tongue as ministering. That's why it says in Corinthians, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. That's the ones who know you have the Spirit. But the ones that are believers that don't know you have the Spirit, the tongues is the sign. Oh, yeah, the Spirit of Elohim is there. And it's not something you can fake. Because the Spirit of Elohim, for those who are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit will testify, that's me or that's not me. When I was still going to the Christian church, to the Pentecostal church, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And sometimes you will see people actually get filled, and then sometimes you will see people fake it. And I used to bring people, you know, to church with me all the time. And they would say, why are you looking at that person like that? I said, what do you mean? Why are you looking at them like that? I said, because that's not the Most High. That's a person faking, mimicking. But it's not the Most High. And some people do that because they want to be accepted. But the Spirit of the Most High will testify within you. He'll bear witness. That's me or that's not me. Go to Acts chapter 19. So Peter heard Cornelius and his family speak in tongues. And he knew that the Most High, that was only supposed to happen when they were accepted by the Most High and they had been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And it had been poured out on them. Here was this sign. They have received the same gift just as we did. They're doing the same thing just as we did. So we know that Elohim has accepted them. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. This is about Paul coming to the upper coast, and he meets some disciples of John, and he asks them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they said, we have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. He says, then unto what were you baptized in? They said, unto John's baptism. And then he explains to them that they have to be rebaptized in the name of Messiah. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And Paul laid hands on them. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. This was the sign. Even when it's not written, it is the sign. Because you cannot see the Spirit enter into anyone. So the Most High gives us a verbal sign. So that we know. Don't have to guess about it. Don't have to question it. And if somebody tries to fake it, his Spirit will testify. That ain't me. And so you got to know that. First Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 through 4. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto Elohim. Don't be hating on anybody speaking in tongues. Unless the Spirit tells you that ain't me, understand that that conversation is a conversation between them and the Most High. Some people get upset. You're sitting there in prayer or you're in, you know, the pews and the Spirit of the Most High comes through the congregation and he's dealing with some people. The Ruach HaKodesh is dealing with some people. Spirit gives them utterance. And that is a conversation. If they don't say, I have a message for the church, I have a message for the body, the most, thus says Yah Elohim, that is an A and B conversation. A and B. And if you hear somebody, if you have the Spirit of the Most High and you hear somebody speaking in tongues and the Spirit in you, the Spirit of the Most High within you said, that ain't me, that's to let you know that that person is faking. And the Most High will have to deal with them. He will usually run them out. Because not only you will know, everybody with the Spirit will know. That's not the Most High. That's a mimicking spirit. Other than that, if the Most High don't say, that's not me, you can't understand what's being said, then that's an A and B conversation, not your business. Not for you to get upset and walk out because they should do that at home in their closet. Wherever the Most High wants to speak and deal with somebody, he can do it wherever he wants to. We just got to understand what order is. Let's continue. 1 Corinthians 14, 2-4. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto Elohim. For no man understands him. Albeit in the Spirit he speaks mystery. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. So you should, if you speak in tongues, then you should pray that the Most High give you the interpretation. Then it becomes prophecy. Then it becomes edification to the whole body or whoever he gives it to you for. You're not the only one being edified. He's not just dealing with you. On the day of Pentecost, it was for everybody that could hear. Every man heard in his own language. So I may just only be dealing with you. And nobody can understand it. That's an A and B conversation. You are being edified. You are being dealt with. That is the job of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Let me intercede here. He don't know what to say. He don't know what he should be praying for. But his spirit is deeply vexed. Let's deal with it. And he may speak in a language that even the speaker don't understand. But it's being dealt with on a spiritual level. So he's being edified. But then if the Most High says, here, I want you to interpret this. Here's the interpretation of what was just said. Or when they're saying it, they understand what's being said. Then it's not just for them. It's congregation. And then they should stand up and say, I have a word from the Most High. Or if they hear somebody else speaking in tongues, and the Most High says, I want you to interpret this. I want you to expound upon this. I want you to tell my church whatever. Then they have the gift of interpretation by the Holy Spirit. And they can edify the church, edify the body. Drop down to verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Interpret. Pray that he ain't the only one that's being edified. Most High, please let me interpret what you're saying to me. You're speaking to my spirit, and my spirit is being edified. And I may not even know what's actually 100% going on, what you're dealing with. But he's dealing with something in you. If this is a problem for everybody, please let me interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. So because you're speaking in an unknown tongue, don't mean you understand personally what's being said. But it's still an A and B conversation between your spirit and the Most High via his spirit in you, dealing with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The job of the Holy Spirit to interpret for us, to speak on our behalf. You may hear a groan and not even a word, but the Spirit knows how to interpret that groan. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who has known the mind of Yah that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? By the Holy Spirit. By the Ruach HaKodesh, word. And having the Ruach interpret for us. By reading his word and having the Ruach to put line upon line and precept upon precept. To bring us into understanding. That's how we get the mind of Christ. If we don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, then we're going to come to a carnal understanding of the Scriptures. Because we have a carnal mind. We have a natural mind. And a lot of things that are explained in the Scriptures will seem foolish to us. Spiritual things will seem foolish. Man, that's crazy. That's just foolish. You ain't got to go through all that. I ain't never had that to happen to me. That's why I say you should ask the Most High to have the same experience that the apostles had. So that you know that you know that you know. I want to have the same experience they had. I don't want it to be different. I want it confirmed. Because if I'm the only one that has done this, then I don't have anything to really confirm. Was that me or was it something else? So I asked the Most High, give me the same experience that the apostles had so that I know that I know that I know. I read it. Here it is. I did the same thing. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to believe. I know. It's a difference. I know because the same things they did, the Most High caused to happen with me. Chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That physically and spiritually, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, if you kill the sinful man, that's what it means to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. By the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 13. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, this liberty, what is he talking about? Before you were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you were carnal-minded, and you could not be spiritual. You could not choose not to sin. It was your nature. But when you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then you have to choose to sin. You know right from wrong. It is not your nature to just sin. And if you do sin, you have to choose to. That's what liberty, you have a choice. That's the liberty you have now, the choice to sin or not to. Before, you didn't have a choice. It was your nature. Carnal mind is enmity or hatred against the Most High, and is not subject to the laws of the Most High, and neither indeed can be. The carnal person is not subject to the laws of the Most High, and they cannot be subject to the laws of the Most High, because you need to have the Spirit of the Most High to bring you into subjection to his laws, to give you the choice. Now, son, this is right and this is wrong. Choose. Before, you were running to it. Running to sin. Now you got a choice to do right or you choose to do wrong. But before you didn't have that choice. You just did wrong. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to underline, fruit of the Spirit, without receiving the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Without receiving the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. But you might try to do these things. You might try to be loving. You might try to have joy and peace in your life. You might try to be long-suffering and gentle. You might try to do good. You might try to have faith. You might try to be meek. You might try to show temperance. Because it's telling you that's what the fruit is. But when I hear people say this, but I don't see the evidence of the Spirit itself, then I know it is them trying to do it themselves. Against such there is no law. There is no law to tell you how much to love. No law to tell you how much joy to have or to give. There is no law to say how peaceful to be or to protect. There is no law to say how long you're supposed to suffer for someone or for yourself. There is no law to tell you how gentle to be. See, the law sets limits. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, there is no limit on how good to be or how much faith to have or how meek to be to have. There's no law that says you to be this temperate or this meek. You're to suffer for this long suffering. Oh, this is long enough. There's no law to tell you how long it's whatever the Most High decides. Understand that. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine or beer or vodka or bourbon or weed or some type of prescribed drug. Nothing that alters your mind. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, drinking too much, smoking too much, taking too high dose of a certain pill. Gotta smoke so much weed. You know, every time you turn around, you gotta go outside and take a weed break or take a cigarette break or take a, you know, drink some wine or some beer. But be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Get drunk off the Most High. Get high off the Most High. There is no high like the Most High. The witness. You don't get a hangover from being high off the Most High. You don't have to hug the toilet. You don't get up with a headache. There is no high like the Most High. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yah. Get high on Him. Feel like you need a drink? Start singing a hymn. Start praising the Most High. Start dancing to Him. Need to go out, feel like you need to go to the club? Put on your praise shoes. Put on a spiritual song and dance to the Most High, like David did. Do we think these things are crazy, foolish? I ain't got to do all that. No, you don't have to do that. But if you would rather go out to the club and get your praise on at the club, to the bump and grind, rather than praise the Most High and dance to Him, you should question your spirituality, and you should question just how much you love the Most High. You should really question that. If you got to get your ease out of a bottle or you know, whether it's liquor or pills, then you should question your walk with the Most High. If you got to get your peace the same way, you should question your walk with the Most High. Because all these things you can get from Him. So if you feel like you need to get a praise on, you need to dance, you need to get rid of some energy, praise the Most High. Dance to Him. lift up his name, stomp your feet, clap your hands. To him, get high off of him. And you'll find that you don't want those other things. You'll find that you don't need those other things. You'll find that he will take the taste from you, the desire from you for those things. Your desire will become for him. Verse 3 and verse 5. And this is where he's saying, this is where a lot of us are that I've seen. You know, we want to be good, but we have not submitted ourselves to the Most High, and so we try to do works of righteousness. We try to do works of righteousness. And it makes us feel good about ourselves, but it's not how it's supposed to work. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy does, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewing of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. A lot of us try to go about, you know, we know what the scriptures say. We know what it says a good person is. And we try to do those works so that we appear to be good. So that we can feel good about ourselves. So maybe, you know, we might think that we're purchasing a ticket to the kingdom. But the Most High don't want us to do it that way unless we are filled with his Spirit. Because when we are filled with his Spirit, it shows that we have humbled ourselves and we have submitted ourselves to him. Okay, this one really wants me. This one really wants to be filled with me. This one has submitted themselves to me. They want to walk in my way. They want to praise my name in spirit and in truth. They don't want to appear righteous before men because that's how they want men to look at them. You know, look at him. He's holy. That's not what he wants us to do. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Examine the life of the apostles before they received the Holy Spirit. Even after while Messiah walked with them. Examine their lives and see how much they didn't believe. Examine their lives and see how much they were without faith. They had no power. When they came and arrested Messiah, what did they do? They ran. What did Peter do? I would give my life for you. Messiah looked at him and said, before this night is over, you're going to deny me 3 times. You'll give your life for me. You're going to deny you even know me. No power. Because it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we able to stand up to this world? If you think you're going to be able to resist the mark of the beast on your own, I'm here to correct you. You won't. You will only resist taking the mark of the beast by the Holy Spirit. That's where you receive your power from. So you could know and say, oh, that's the mark of the beast. You will find a way to justify taking it. Won't be able to help yourself. Know it's wrong and still end up taking it. But you shall receive power after, not before, but after the Holy Ghost upon you. You don't have any power before then. And through hook or crook, the enemy will get you to do what he wants you to do. Through hook or crook. Through presenting you with a piece of the truth mixed with a lie. And he knows what part of the lie you need to hear. He knows what you need to hear to make you bite. And without the Spirit of the Most High, you will bite. Trust that. That's why you got to depend on Elohim for everything. You need this power. You need him to be in your life so that when temptation comes, can endure it. When the enemy attacks you full-blown, head-on, you can endure. You can see it for what it is. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can't be an effective witness for Messiah without the Holy Spirit. You will be a contradiction. You'll say, I know Messiah and I know him and I worship him and I serve him, and then people will see you doing otherwise. That's why when, you know, you see the church saying they're filled with the Spirit and they're saved, and you see them still struggling with the same thing, you have to wonder, how is it that they're still struggling with these things because they have no power? Who did John the Baptist say would baptize with the Holy Spirit? Who did John the Baptist say would baptize with the Holy Spirit? Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he, the one that's coming, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Again, another hint, another clue as to who Messiah was. Everywhere else in the scripture tells you that this is the Most High or the Father. Identified in the scripture as the Father is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Telling you that Messiah is the Father in flesh. And he's the one that's going to be baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to be interceding. But the Most High is able to function from boxes. That's the best way I can put this. Put himself in a box in certain things and say, okay, from this position, this is what I'm going to do. And from this position, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. I'm not going to reveal it to you from the position of Son. I reserve that self for myself from the position of Father, that I will reveal it to you at that time from that position. Son, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. What did Messiah promise his disciples before he returned to heaven? Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. John said the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit is Messiah, Yeshua. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. See how this is going back and forth? And you may think, if you're reading these all together, you may think, oh, there's three. Oh, the Father's going to send him. No, the Son is going to send him in the Father's name. If you understand who Messiah is, you understand that it's the same being telling you this, but it's written in such a way that he don't, for those who don't want to understand, they're not going to understand. Written parabolically. Written in a way that only he can give understanding. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And hear it and receive it. Messiah is the Most High Elohim in flesh. He says, and in flesh, you're going to know me as the Son. And I'm going to speak like I have a father. Because that's how I'm going to show you how I want you to relate to me. So that you're not all confused, I'm doing everything. Because I am Elohim and I can do it all. And I told you, Israel, you are my witness. Is there an Elohim besides me? I know not any. You're not supposed to know any. Can't make two Elohim. There is but one Elohim, the Father. We're supposed to know there's only one, always. No matter how the scriptures are written. The scriptures are written and things are revealed to hide things from wise men. To hide things from those who the Most High don't really want to know it. All seem confusing to me. It's by design. Whenever he wants to give you clarity, it will all clear up. Whenever he wants you to know the truth. What did Messiah tell his disciples to do until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit? Go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. What did Messiah tell his disciples to do until they received the promise? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Wait until you receive this power. I'm going to send you the promise. The promise is, I will fill you with my Spirit. Now go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive this promise, Terry. Have to be faithful. Not give up. Go before the Most High. Why haven't you chosen me? What further do I need to do? What do I need to do, Most High, that you should choose me? That you should endue me with power? When did the disciples receive this promise? Go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. I mean, they were doing the same thing. They were focused on the same stuff in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. As I said, you don't speak in tongues on demand. You speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Most High gives you utterance. We don't speak a practiced phrase, a learned phrase. It should be as the Spirit of the Most High is telling you what to say. Why hadn't the disciples received the Holy Spirit earlier? Go to the book of John, chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7. And see verses 38 through 39. The book of John, chapter 7, verses 38 through 39. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. So they didn't receive the Holy Spirit prior to this because it had not been released yet. The Spirit of the Most High had not been released yet. And Messiah had not been glorified yet, meaning that the plan of salvation had not been completed yet. He hadn't paid the price yet for their sin. John 16, verses 15. John 16, verses 15 through 17. And all things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me? And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. What is he talking about? But he told them we can read the answer in John chapter 7 and verse 38 and 39. I need to be glorified. I need to complete the mission. I need to ascend into heaven and pay the price with my blood. I need to finish this work. After Yeshua returned to heaven, what did he receive? What did he receive from that work? Father released from that work. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. This is the promise. This is the way the Most High said he would release the Ruach HaKodesh. When Messiah returns into heaven, I'm going to release the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That qualifies. All in this term means everyone that qualifies. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon them. All that I choose. Acts 2 and verse 33. The book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For the Most High said, according to my plan, when I return from the earth and have paid the price, through the position of the Son, I will release the Holy Spirit. To all that believe on me in this form, or me in the flesh, all that believe on me as the Son. I will release it to them. But they have to have truly repented. They have to have turned from their wicked ways. They have to seek me with their whole heart, willing to give up everything. Nothing can be more important than this in their lives. And I will give them the gift of my Spirit. Let's stop here for this afternoon, or this morning, and we will pick this up again this afternoon, part three, the Holy Spirit. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can simply just tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim. The Holy Spirit. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, if you doubt whether you have received the Holy Spirit, I suggest that you pursue receiving the Holy Spirit. Because without it, you are none of his. Evening. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand.